We're doing the Ein Yaakov. We're up to page Samach Tes in the standard Ein Yaakovs, which is really Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Dalet in the Gemara. And the Gemara questions as follows. Meitive, I'll ask you a question. Hakore Shema v'kofla reizem gune. If someone reads Shema and doubles it, Shema, Shema, Yisrael, Yisrael, Hashem, Hashem, Elokeinu, Elokeinu, says each word twice, so that's, we look down upon that. That's not the right way to say Shema. So the Gemara goes into that a little bit, and the Gemara says, it depends. If you read the whole thing, and then you repeat it a second time, so that's okay. But if you read it, and each word you go, you repeat it, so then it sounds like there's more than one God, right? You're talking to more than one person. So that's what doesn't work. So then Rav Papa, who was a disciple of Rava, we know Abaye and Rava were contemporaries, Amar le Rav Papa le Abaye. Rav Papa said to Abaye, you guys remember who Rav Papa was? Rav Papa, the disciple of Rava, Rav Papa, who was very heavy. Rav Papa once lent a Roman woman a lot of money, and she said to him, when he came to collect, she said, sit on the bed and I'll get you the money. And he said, I'm not sitting on that bed till we see what's under it. And she had placed her baby under it so that she could say that Rav Papa killed her baby and then she wouldn't have to pay and she'd have a blood libel against Rav Papa. And he caught it. Mm-hmm. He taught us, don't sit on a Aramean's bed before you check what's under it. So Rav Papa said to Abaye, he said to him, "Dilma meikara lo kiven da'atei, v'asof kiven da'atei." Maybe the first time he said, "Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad," then he realized, "Gee, I wasn't thinking when I said that. Let me say that again." So that sounds like there's more than one being up there. Amar lei, so Abaye looks at Rav Papa and says, "Wait a minute. He's talking to God, and he's making declaration that God is one, and he wasn't focused. Havrutei klapei Shemaya meikar." Does a person talk to God like he's talking to his friend, where he's like not paying attention? If he wasn't focused originally, we hit him with a stick, till he learns to focus, which he didn't mean literally. He meant we teach him. That's not the way to say Shema. We're not going to permit something and say, well, maybe you weren't focused. So focus, so stop, don't talk, focus, and then talk. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a braisa that was validated by Rav Chiya and Rav Hoshaya. Shlosha, there are three things that ruban kashe, if you have a lot of them, it's harmful. Umiyutan yafe, but a little bit is good. What are they? Ve'ilu hen, se'or, sourdough. You put in too much in your flour, it's sour. You put in a little bit, the flour will rise. You can make bread. Melach, salt. Ve'sarvanut, and being a refusenik. To refuse, not to give in. A little bit is good. So, how do we apply this? Let's say someone asks you, you should be the chazan. So a person should first say, no, take someone else. And if they insist, so then you go. But you're not quick to run up to be the chazan. There's a story about a person asked one of the children of Jerusalem, bring me something that with a small amount of money I'll have more than enough. So he gave him a small amount of money and he came back with salt. He said, that was a child in Jerusalem. Tanu Rabbanan, Maaseh b'talmid echad she'arad lifnei ha'teva, lifnei Rabbi Eliezer, v'haya marich yoter midai. A student was chazen before Rabbi Eliezer, and his davening took way too long. Amar le, amru lo talmidav, Rabbeinu kama achanu ze. So the student said, Rabbi, look at how long it takes him to daven. Amar lehem klum ha'arich yoter mimoshe Rabbeinu. Is he davening longer than Moshe? He said, what are you guys complaining for? Is he longer than Moshe? By Moshe it says, etarbim yom etarbim alayla. Moshe spent 40 days and 40 nights pleading before God, forgive them for the golden calf. So he's not worse than Moshe. Shuv maseb tamid echad she'ira lifnei Rabbi Eliezer v'yam katzor yoter midai. Another student was chazen in front of Rabbi Eliezer, and he was a speed reader. He did it all quickly. Amru lo talmidav kama katzranu ze. So the student said to Rabbi Eliezer, how short is this one? Amar lehem kulum katzor yoter mimoshe Rabbeinu. So he said to them, is he shorter than Moshe? When Moshe's own sister needed healing, what did Moshe say? El na refa na la. God, please cure her. Four words. Five words. So you could say everything you got to say in a short amount of words, and that's also good. Tanu Amanan. Now the Braisa says, Elu brachot she'adam shochev mem. The following blessings are where we bow in Shmona Esrei. Shochev means to bow. Be'avot tchila v'sof. In the prayer of the forefathers, the blessing of the forefathers in the beginning of Shmona Esrei, the beginning and end. Be'odat tchila v'sof. And in Modim, in the beginning of Modim, we say Modim anachnu lach. And we bow down when we say Modim. And in the end, when we say Baruch Ta Hashem, Hatov Shimcha L'chon E'elodos. Ve'im ba lashuach b'sof kol bracha u'bracha u'v'tchilat kol bracha u'bracha. And if someone says, I'll bow at the beginning and end of each blessing, I'm talking before God, I'll bow every blessing. Melamdim noto shelo yishcheu. We tell him, no, don't bow. We encourage him not to bow because he'll ruin the rabbinic institution. Who does bow? The king bows from beginning to end of prayer, the Kohen Gadol. The higher a person is, the more they have to bow in their prayer. But for common folk like us, we just do what our sages said. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. You guys remember Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi? He was the disciple of Rabbi Akiva, who only came to learn Torah for the money. He heard Rabbi Akiva saying, if you learn Torah, you'll get money. That's why they called him Ben Pazi. Ben Pazi, son of wealth. Really, his father's name wasn't Pazi. So he quoted Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kafra. You guys remember Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? He tricked the angel of death. He got into the Garden of Eden alive. In the name of Bar Kafra, Hediot kmo she'amanu. A simple person, so he's like we said, he bows only in these four places. Kohen Gadol besof kol bracha u'bracha. But the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, he bows at the end of each blessing, really. V'amelech tchilat kol bracha u'bracha besof kol bracha u'bracha. And the king bows at the beginning of each blessing and end of each blessing. Amar Rav Yitzhak bar Nachmani, ledidi mefarshili mined Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rav Yitzhak bar Nachmani says, no, I got it from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He taught me, and this is what he said. Hediot, the common folk, kmo shamanu, they bow the way we said. Kohen Gadol b'tchilat kol bracha u'bracha. The Kohen Gadol at the beginning of each blessing. Hamelech kevan shekorei ashuv eino zokef. The king begins blessing, he bows down, and he doesn't pick up his head till he finishes blessing. All of his blessing is bowed before God. Shenemar, the verse says that Solomon went and bowed before God, said his prayer. Vayi kechalot shlomo litpalel kam lifnei mizbach Hashem michol birkav. When Solomon finished his prayer, that's when he got up off his hands and feet. He was bowed down throughout his prayer. So now, how do you bow in prayer? There are different terms for bowing in Tanakh. Tanu Rabanan. Keda, when it says the word Keda vayikod in Tanakh, alapayim. That means to bow all the way with your face down to the floor. We don't do that anymore. But in the times of Tanakh, they did, as it says that Batsheva, vatikod Batsheva apayim aretz. She bowed with her face all the way to the ground before King David. So you see that Keda is bowing all the way down. Kriya, when we say lichroa, to bow, that's al birkaim. Shenemar micho al birkaim. So technically, to bow is to put your knees to the floor. We don't do that exactly either. Hishtachava, when we say to be mishtachave, to bow, so that term of bowing means pishut yadayim v'raglayim. That's extending your hands and feet all the way out on the floor when you bow. So that they did. You see that Yaakov, when he heard Yosef's dream of all the stooks bowing to Yosef, so Yaakov says to Yosef, avon avon ibi mecha b'achecha lishtachavot lecha arza. Do you really think me, your mother, all your siblings will all just bow down all out on the ground before you? So over there we see that bowing down is all out on the ground. So how are we supposed to bow? So when we say Baruch, bow our knees, right? Baruch. And then, Ata, we bow our back. You notice how low you go on that? Most people don't do that. Most people say Baruch, they bow their knees. And then when they say Ata, they straighten out their knees and bow their back. But really, I guess there are sources for doing it that way and this way. But the basic reading of the Gemara and the Halacha is that when you say Baruch, you bow your knees. And when you say Ata, you bow your back. Now you see, that's pretty close to hitting the floor. Right? The only thing you got to be careful is if you're wearing tefillin, make sure there's no wall in front of you. I bashed my tefillin that way once. Well, this way. Okay. So. Mishnah. We're up to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, who was a Tana, who was a huge tzaddik, who lived in dire poverty. He had a carob tree in his front yard, and they'd have about the volume of a 2-liter Coke bottle of carobs for him and his wife, and that was their meal all week long. That much carob. No Rice Krispies. Just that. That was what they lived off of. And a heavenly voice would come out and say, the whole world is being sustained because of the piety of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. The whole world is getting their food, their sustenance because of his piety. And my son Hanina, he's happy with his little amount of carob. So Amru alav al Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, they used to say about Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, Shaya mitpalel al acholim, he would pray over someone that was ill. And we have to know that there are different words for illness in Hebrew. There's choli, there's ke'ev, there's mechush, there's ra'ah. Mechush is a slight thing, it's like a toothache, a headache. Ke'ev is something that's pounding, it's a pain. And choli is a real illness. Today we say chole, it's like it covers everything, but really it isn't. Really the word choli in Shas is about a serious illness. So when they'd come to Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa and ask him to pray for someone who was ill, he would pray, and at the end of the prayer he'd be able to say, Momel zechai v'zeh mit. He could forecast who's going to live and who's going to die. Amulo minayin ata yodea. So they'd ask Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, how do you know? And he'd answer them, Amalem, he said, Im shegura tefilati befi, if the prayer flows through my mouth and I don't stumble, it goes smoothly, Yodea nishum kubal. Then I know God's accepted my prayer and the person will be healed. Ve'im lav, and if I can't get the words out, it doesn't flow, Yodea nishum turaf. Then I know my prayer hasn't been accepted and the man's a goner. So he could tell as he'd finish praying and he'd forecast where things were headed. Now there's a parenthesis here. The parenthesis is going on a part of the Mishnah that's not here. The Mishnah says you have to be able to focus when you pray Shemona Esrei. And the Talmud says, which one is most critical? So the Talmud says, and this is how we rule halachically, that the first blessing is most critical. If you could be focused on the first blessing, so that's the minimum in order to be qualified for saying Shemona Esrei. Now, if you think about it, the first three blessings are the hardest to focus. They're the hardest blessings to focus in. Because what are you saying? Blessed are you, God, the God of my forefather, the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. You are great, you are mighty, you are awesome. What are we saying? I'm not discussing me, I'm discussing God. Not discussing what I want, I'm praising God. The nature of the human being is that when it pertains to himself, then he's interested. When it has nothing to do with him, it's like, okay. You know, if I took out someone else's wedding album, you'd have no interest in seeing it. But took out a wedding album of someone you knew, and especially someone, a wedding where you were there, you'd want to see it. What pertains to us, we're interested in. And at first glance, people don't feel like praising God pertains to them. And so the first three blessings I think for most people are very hard to focus on. You get to the fourth blessing where you ask God for intellect, you ask God for understanding, you ask God for forgiveness, you ask God for healing, you ask God for sustenance. When we're asking, then we could focus because that I understand what I'm doing. When I'm just standing there and saying, God, you are, so what am I doing? So imagine you had an important meeting with let's say a top doctor or your top financial analyst, because God is all of these, right? And when you walk into the meeting, you could walk into the meeting and say, good morning, this is what I want to talk to you about. Or you could walk into the meeting and say, you know, my grandfather worked with you and my great-grandfather, I'm already fourth generation with this firm. You know, my great-great-grandfather was your patient. If you walked into the top doctor and you could walk in and introduce yourself as you know, we're connected, you would, and you'd invest the time in that. And in essence, that's part of what we're doing in the first blessing. In the first blessing, we're identifying ourselves. We're coming to God and we're saying, you know, I'm the grandson of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who had a very special relationship with you, God. Each one of us individually is in essence doing that. And that's why the blessing is called Avot. And then we show that we too recognize God's awesomeness, God's might. We really, this, the first blessing is setting the stage for the continuum. If we think of it that way, it might be easier. Again, it's a little bit egocentric. You know, it's all about us. It's just, how am I going to get into the doctor? So I'll tell him my relationship to him. But it's a start. You know, at least we should be focused on what we're saying there, because that's the minimum. That's what the Gemara really says over here. Tanu Abanan. We'll skip a few lines. The Gemara basically just says what's the source for this concept, that the way the prayer goes is indicative. Then the Gemara brings a pasuk. Maseh v'chala b'no shel Rabban Gamliel. The story goes that Rabban Gamliel's son was ill. So Rabban Gamliel is the chief rabbi, a descendant of King David's. He's the Nasi. V'shagar shnei talmidei chachamim etzel Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa levakesh rachamim alav. He sent two talmidei chachamim to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa to ask him to pray for his son. Kevan shera'a otam, when Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa saw them, he understood what they wanted. Ala la'aliyah, he went up to his attic, ubikesh rachamim alav, and he prayed for Rabbi Gamliel's son. Biridato, when he came down from the attic, amar lehem lechu shekvar chaltzato chama. He said, you guys can go back because the fever left him, he's cured. Amru lo v'chi naviata. They said, are you a prophet? He said to them, amar lehem lo navi ani v'lo ben navi. I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. Where'd you hear that before, David? Ah, you were there too, Friday. So were you. Right, Amos said that. Amos, right?
Yeah,
but you see, when Amos said it, he really was a prophet, the son of a prophet. But here you start seeing this is a borrowed term. That he says, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, and he means it. Elakach mekublani, but this is the tradition that I have. Im shegurat tefilati b'fi, if my prayer flows through my mouth, Yodeh ani shum kubal, then I know it'll be accepted before God. Ve'im lav, and if it isn't, Yodeh ani shum turaf, then I know the man's a goner, the prayer hasn't been accepted. Yashu v'katvu v'chivnu ota sha'a. So they said, okay, we'll check. They went to the sundial, and they wrote down the exact time. And then they took the time, and they went back to Rabban Gamliel. And when they came to Rabban Gamliel, uchshabao tel Rabban Gamliel, amar lehem avuda lachasartem lo otartem. Rabban Gamliel says, you got it on the nail. You're not off by one iota. Elakach haya maaseh b'otah sha'a chaltzato chama. At that exact time that you wrote down, that's when we saw that his fever left. V'shala numayim lishtot, and for the first time he asked for a cup of water to drink. So, you'll ask me, but till he got down from the attic, until they heard what he said, and until they wrote down the time on the sundial, so if it's at exactly the same moment, it's still not the same thing. So I'll tell you that sundials aren't accurate to the minute. You know, they didn't mean it went to the second. They didn't have a minute hand on their watch. They had approximations. That's what they meant. Okay, we'll pick up here, Bezlat Shem, next time.